You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. They're called the Stonewall Generation, the baby boomers who are LGBT. Some 4.7 million of these LGBT elders are going to need some kind of care and services by 2030. But will they face the kind of discrimination when they seek care in their old age that they grew up with? And are elder care facilities aware of and ready to accommodate needs of gay and transgender residents? We begin here with Philip Ojibwe.
My name is Philip Ojibwe. I live in Southfield, Michigan. I live at in an eight-story building that's mostly senior citizens. Most of the people that are my age, back then especially, I mean, you know, we're talking about the 70s, you know. I mean, we came through that time when you were in the closet. There was a closet, and you were best in the closet, and you didn't talk about the date you had in public. I had quit my job and had moved to Detroit, and I was right in the middle of the gay community. I, you know, got a nice house in Palmer Park. One of the bars that I had been going to occasionally was a block away. And it turned out that the publication I eventually started working for was next door to this bar that was a block away, you know, so. Cruise Magazine was a weekly publication dedicated to the gay and lesbian community and covering that genre of stuff that was going on around town. It was a connection point, and I had upped the quality of the publication quite a bit. Just by covering things that, other than just saying, Gigi's is going to have a dance night, you know, I mean, we had those kinds of little stories in there, but we also started covering, like, basically gay news, you know, good stuff that just wasn't available around. The people knew that if they read it in Cruise Magazine, it was true. Basically, I had retired, and I was living in Royal Oak. And I was in the hospital for a long time with, well, I don't have a leg here, and that's where this foot ends, is right here. And then when all this happened with the surgeries and all that sort of stuff, I couldn't go back there because it was three steps up into the apartment, whether I went in the front door or the back door. So, you know, I needed something else, and I had checked some other places around the area as well, and this one just felt the best for me. You know, I particularly liked the fact that this wasn't just a white community, you know, and to see the diversity of people that were here, I thought, this looks like it might be a good place. I have run into people, you know, out in the community, and where are you living, and how is that place, and I tell them, you know, well, I'm not out there, but there's a number of people that are there that know that I'm gay, you know. It's like, kind of like on a need-to-know basis for the most part. The gay movement is of course now on the front page of everywhere because of the 50th year of Stonewall and all that sort of stuff. So I've gotten questions about that, you know. So I mean, it becomes a good talking point. There's an organization that meets at the Affirmations Community Center in downtown Ferndale. Senior Coffee Clatch is the name of the organization. We have about 40 to 50 people every Wednesday. It's very nice. I've become a major resource for them, too, because they start talking about something 15, 20 years ago, you know, and they all know, you know, that I was the editor of Cruise Magazine, you know. So when I say, well, what really happened there is this, they take it as gospel. And I really did develop a relationship within the community is that, if Philip says it's that way, that's the way it was.
That was Philip Ojibwe in an audio postcard produced by Stateside's Bella Isaacs. We turn now to Kat Latosh with SAGE, the world's oldest organization focused on improving the lives of LGBT older adults. She's the founder of Latosh Consulting, which helps nonprofits by expanding diversity, equity, and inclusion. Kat, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So here the country is certainly being challenged by how we will care for and house the aging baby boomers. The president of the Human Rights Campaign, HRC, has said, and I'll quote here, all too often, LGBTQ elders do not receive the care and support they deserve. Why is this?
Well, I think that we've trained a lot of people in the state of Michigan in particular, and people just aren't thinking about the unique concerns and challenges facing LGBT older adults as they enter, say, a long-term care community. They're not thinking about the fact that, you know, 8 out of 10 don't have adult children to help care for them, and that's the number one caretaker. They're not thinking about the fact that they're 3 times more likely to be living in poverty because of a lifetime of employment discriminations. They're not thinking about the fact that they might not be legally married and less likely to have a partner to help care for them. So that person enters that setting sometimes more fearful. As you get older, you have a little more frailty. And if you're by yourself, you don't have someone to be there, to be your support, and it can become even more fearful. And people don't realize it, that folks are struggling with all those things as they enter. They don't ask the right questions. They don't find out, like, who's your family of choice? Who is it that I should call if you need something? And it's not just caretakers or people who are staff. If I move into a long-term care facility, I'm worried about the other neighbors.
The other residents.
And staff sometimes have a hard time managing them as well. Sometimes we lose our filters as we get older. And, you know, we're hearing all across the state issues of senior bullying that are on the rise because people tend to lose their filters and say stuff maybe they wouldn't have said in another setting.
Okay. And, you know, as you talk about this, Kat, I am thinking of a trans woman that I've come to know who, you know, as she transitioned, is now completely rejected by her family.
Yep.
Common story?
Very common story. We have recently met a trans woman who, when she came out as female, she decided to come out after her partner had passed, her spouse, because she didn't want to hurt that person. Kids completely disowned her. She couldn't come out in her existing community because she was worried about being mistreated. So she moved some 2 hours to a new town. So here she is, 70 years old, in a town where nobody knows her, transgender, doesn't have children to help support her, most likely has lost a job or other means of financial support. So where is she living? How is she taking care of her own needs? It's a very scary prospect, especially for transgender older adults. You know, the Obama administration had a policy that if you received federal funding in housing, you couldn't discriminate based on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. The Trump administration has rescinded that. And we're already seeing like shelter situations, which are really not gender inclusive, particularly for transgender older adults, and they're more likely to be homeless. LA Times just recently reported a 22% increase in the number of transgender older adults who are experiencing homelessness. Older adults. Mm.
And then when you think here in Michigan, there is no civil rights protection.
Correct.
For LGBT people.
Correct.
How is that playing out in this situation with elder care?
Well, Michigan has not been on the forefront of LGBT rights. But I will say on the issue of LGBT older adult rights, we've been a bit of a pioneer. And I think that's mainly because of Sage Metro Detroit.
Okay, tell us how.
Sage Metro Detroit is a affiliate of the national organization. And we formed out of the LGBT Older Adult Coalition about 12 years ago now, and really recognized a number of us community leaders came together and said, hey, people are calling us and they're saying, Kat, lose my phone number because I'm moving into a long-term care facility and I'm worried that everybody will mistreat me. So don't call me. Don't email me. Take my address out of your mailing list. I was working at Affirmations and
yes,
we were getting these calls on the helpline. Also, where do I go live? I'm worried about being mistreated, discriminated against. I don't know where to go.
It sounds like people are almost getting pushed back in the closet if they go into
very much so. And you can call it a choice. But if you're worried that you're going to be mistreated, that's not really a choice. You're doing something out of self-protection. And so we looked at ourselves as community leaders and realized we had absolutely no good referrals to give people. Like, we didn't even know where to send people. We didn't even have the first clue. So that was the beginning of us inviting people who did this work in senior services to come to the table and say, what can we do about this?
And I know you are now the Michigan Project Manager for the Long-Term Care Equality Index, the LEI.
Yes.
So, which is going to provide a very important tool for people. Tell us about this.
Yes. So the Long-Term Care Equality Index is a project that's been in the works with Human Rights Campaign Foundation and SAGE National, it's a partnership, to assess long-term care communities. That means independent living, assisted living, nursing care, hospice.
The whole spectrum. Living
like institutionally or in an environment that set up is by someone else, this enables those communities an opportunity to assess their current policies and practices to make sure they are inclusive. Because even if I'm like, oh, you know, I can't force somebody to come out of the closet, and I may not want to when I'm like 70. I might say, well, it's none of your business. I might choose when I'm going to come out. But this allows agencies to provide an inclusive atmosphere. So I come in thinking, oh, this place is okay for me to come out. It's safe, and I can ask questions that are important to me about my identity.
So you're, the evaluation of these places and the way they rank on the index can help people feel a security. So what does an LGBT-friendly long-term care facility or assisted living look like? What kind of policies? Mm-hmm. What are some examples you can give us?
Well, in Michigan, and this is one of the reasons, although we're a little bit behind the ball in some other areas on aging work, we're ahead of the game. And that's because of funding from groups like the Michigan Health Endowment Fund. So we recently did a broad-based project, ended up being multiple chapters, a Detroit area project working with three area agencies on aging, followed by most recently a project working with Grand Rapids, Saginaw, the UP. So testing it in very rural communities, but working with the area agencies on aging to set exactly that down. And one thing is really for leadership to look at their policies. What is your value system around serving LGBT older adults? Do you have sexual orientation and gender identity in your non-discrimination protections? Because we know they're not included in the civil rights law. So your organizational policy is your personal law, your organizational law. Do you have that policy on the books? Are you providing training for your staff? Do you have symbols around your agency that say, we're gay affirming? Maybe a rainbow flag sticker on the window. Whenever we train staff, we give out little rainbow flag lapel pins. Because if I'm going out to your home and I have my little name tag lanyard on and I'm a person in my home, I see that flag and it's an immediate symbol to me that this person is safe. I can say, hey, we don't have a will. Or I'm worried about what happens when I pass because my name's not on the house. Or my daughter is a lesbian and she's going to be coming to this place with me too. And I want her and her family to be accepted. You know, you name
it. So many facets of that. I saw a statistic, Kat, that 85% of the long-term care facilities in our country are religiously affiliated.
That is a huge challenge. It's one of the things that we explored more deeply in our Michigan project because especially with some of the conversation in the country and allowing discrimination based on what they call deeply held religious beliefs. And yes, a lot of our long-term care agencies are religiously affiliated. And that can be really terrifying for someone who's LGBT because oftentimes LGBT people have been literally traumatized by the religion. You know, there's not much you can say to you're an abomination in the eyes of God. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say to somebody, and it really hurts. It's really traumatizing. So to then walk into a religiously affiliated organization and say, I'm going to be cared for by these people. We've heard of things called deathbed conversions, where people are, you know, asked to renounce their homosexuality on their deathbed. And that's horrifying. So people have these real fears. So yeah, this is a very important consideration. And many organizations may choose not to be LGBT affirming for that reason. So we're seeking out the ones who want to be, who really want to provide good care and compassion to all adults, including LGBTQ older adults. The Q we don't necessarily use so much with older adults because like religious experiences, the word queer has also been used to hurt them.
So what time frame are you looking at to get this survey done, the Long-Term Care Equality Index?
So the Long-Term Care Equality Index, is a national project, and they commissioned a report to really look at long-term care industry professionals and say, what would be the best way to roll this out? So we already launched at the American Society on Aging Conference in April, and that's to take the pledge. We just want you to pledge to commit to care for LGBT older adults. And that means getting your leadership on board. And then second is, what are you doing about it? So step two is the self-assessment. And that's in the process of being developed now. We have a National Advisory Council, and that includes senior membership organizations and long-term care community professionals and LGBTQ community organizers. So once people take the self-assessment, then they'll get a sense of, how am I doing? Oh, I'm not so good. I'm really good on policies, but oh, we're not doing any marketing. Like, none of our pictures show any kind of LGBTQ-ness. So let's improve there. And it'll give people some direction and guidance. Third step is for them to actually take the LEI, which will be a survey. And like HRC's many other indices, they have a corporate equality index, they have a healthcare equality index, all which list out the inclusive places in America and say, this is where you can go and expect inclusion. We will have a similar one for long-term care communities. So if I'm planning for mom or dad or aunt or uncle in Utah, I can look nationally. I live in Michigan. They might be in Utah. I can look at that list and say, oh, this place has been through this. I can feel safer with them going here. Likewise, if I'm just looking by myself, I can go online and search for local institutions.
It's going to take a while to do that. Let's talk about people right now listening to us who are agonizing over what their elders. They are going to need care.
Yeah.
Who can they turn to for assistance right now?
Well, in Metro Detroit, we have something called the Rainbow Resource Guide. And it lists, we have worked over the past 5 years to develop a list of referrals that are LGBT inclusive. And there's coding. So it'll say everyone who's in the guide has made that commitment to care. And we've also vetted, do you have policies in place? Have you provided training? And we have little icons by each one. So if I'm looking, I can tell what level of work that organization has done to serve me best.
And so how do people find this?
It's online at our website, sagemetrodetroit.org, under resources. And that's been a great guide. With the Long-Term Care Equality Index, that'll be available online next year, I believe, with some of the resources that are available. And I will say, because of our statewide work, there's a resource guide in Grand Rapids in the whole area. And these are like 7 county areas, and one in the Saginaw Bay City area, and one in the Upper Peninsula, all that are reachable by going to sagemetrodetroit.org.
Kat Latosh, who's with Sage and also the founder of Latosh Consulting, which works with nonprofits and helps them to expand diversity, equity, and inclusion. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.